Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to Romance of the Two Networks. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
I'm Jackson Tyler from AbnormalMapping.com.
And I'm Em, also from Abnormal Mapping.
And we are here. The kingdom has reunited. Well, probably divide again at some point. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
But we got some book to, we got some book to talk about.
We sure do. These are three fantastic chapters.
It's kingdom time.
Yeah.
Someday that'll be a thing. Every once in a while we give it a shot.
It's kingdom time.
No, this doesn't feel right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Shall we? So, okay. We missed you last week, Em.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on what you missed on those three chapters?
Absolutely not. I listened to the episode and have not actually read the chapters yet.
Okay, well, the Yuans are dead, and that's
yeah.
Good.
No, I gathered as much, and I was also glad about this.
All right, fair enough. Well, I guess we should just head straight in to chapter 34. Lady Sai eavesdrops on a private talk. Imperial Uncle Liu vaults the River Tan on horseback. So our cliffhanger from last time was that Cao Cao had. Located Trevor. What is with my mouth?
Cao Cao hanging out with magical Trevor is exactly the book I want this to be, actually.
The tricks that Cao Cao does are ever so clever.
Oh, Jesus. All right. He'd located treasure by divine mandate. You know, there'd been a ray of light from heaven indicating a spot that he was to dig. And so, of course, he had someone else dig. And found... what? It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a bronze plane. It's a bronze bird. He found a bronze made bird that somebody had just buried for some reason. And he turned to Zhen Yu and he's like, "Hey, what does this mean?" And Zhen Yu's like, "Well, the Emperor Shun was born after his mother dreamed she'd been impregnated by a jade bird. So I think it's a good omen." And Sasa's like, "Okay, great. We're going to build a tower at this spot."
Hooray!
Yeah. And his younger son, Cao Zi, is like, "Oh, hey, you know, listen, if you're going to build a tower, you should really build three towers connected by bridges. That would be sick."
It would be sick, to be fair.
And Sasa's like, "Man, I want to retire here." Is basically what he says. And then we get a quick little aside that Sessa's got five sons, and four of them are trash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Z, the one who proposed the tower, was like, you know, smart and quick-witted. But the others just, you know, who fucking cares? He doesn't even... The chapter, like, it says, like, he's got five sons, and then talks about Z, and then basically doesn't mention the others at all. So, you know, that's what we can expect of them. So after that, he leaves some sons behind to help build the tower and defend it. And then he, withdraws to the capital, and he's like, "All right, time for a few promotions, and now it's time to figure out what to do about Liu Biao." And Zhen Yu is like, "We just had a war that went real bad. Remember the whole desert thing? We should not. Let's just chill. We'll build up our strength. We'll wait half a year, and then we'll attack, and it'll all be fine." And Sasa's like, "Okay, that makes sense."
6 months doesn't actually seem like that long of a time to build up your strength after a long campaign.
No, not on the like time scales these kinds of wars are talking about.
Yeah, that's like not even a full cycle of like harvest, because you talk about reclaiming the wastes and like you got to plant crops and grow them first.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, so maybe it's just like he's not expecting to grow, like to recruit a bunch more troops. He's just like, these guys need a vacation.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, over at Liu Biao's place, Xuanda has shown up, and Liu Biao has been treating him really well since he came to volunteer his services. And then two of the generals who previously surrendered to Liu Biao, Zhang Wu and Chen Sun organize an insurrection and start running around doing some bandit shit. And Liu Biao's like, oh shit, this is a problem. Like, this could like topple this whole thing. And Xuanda's like, listen, it's no big deal. I'll go take care of it. Let me do this for you. And so he rides out and he meets them on the field with, you know, the four brothers, and yeah, it goes very well. But in the process, Zhang Wu has a great horse. And Xuanda's like, that's a sick horse, I want that horse.
I do want to mention really quickly that these few chapters are where it really starts to feel like Xuanda and his brothers are like a almost superhero like tag team, where they're putting together strategies where each brother does their part in closing the enemy in, and each one takes a head for themselves, more or less.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like I still hold by that Zhao Xilong hasn't gotten much characterization, but the bit that we have got is basically that, like, whenever he shows up and there's an enemy, the enemy dies.
He's
which I guess
very
is something.
Good at being a soldier.
I guess. Like, no bragging, no, like, oh, I'll take it before the first, just goes and does it. It's like, okay, job's done. So they kill both the leaders, the rebels disperse, and they got this horse. After there's a, you know, Liu Biao holds a banquet to celebrate him, and he's like, this is great, but the problem is we've still got, you know, the south and the west are still a problem. And Xuanda's like, listen, you've got these, you know, three threats. I've got three brothers. No big deal. Just go take care of them. And Liu Biao is like, oh, that sounds great. But then, Lady Sai, who's his wife, has a brother named Sai Mao, who's going to be a problem throughout the rest of this chapter. And Sai Mao talks to his sister, and he's like, hey, if Xuanda sends those generals out and hangs out here, there's going to be trouble. I don't know what trouble there could be. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
It's implied, especially with what they say later in the chapter, that Xuanda is positioning himself in a good place to more or less take over once Liu Biao proves himself to be an ineffective leader.
Yes. But, like, by sending your men away?
Well, if he's in the capital, then people will, like, flock to his banner is the worry. Because, like, everyone loves Xuanda, and he has done this with, like, four guys now, accidentally and sometimes on purpose. Like, the first time he was like, oh, no, please, definitely don't make me in charge of a place. But he's now done it a couple times since then.
That's true. Lady Sai takes these concerns to her husband, and she's like, hey, a lot of people seem to be thinking Xuanda's pretty cool. You should get him out of the capital, or this is just going to keep happening. And Liu Biao's like, Xuanda's great. Why would you even ask that? And Lady Sai's like, you know, not everybody's as nice of a guy as you. This might not go your way. And Liu Biao's like, let me think about that one. Then the next day, he spots Xuanda's freshly taken horse, and he's like, oh, that's a sick horse. And Xuanda's like, oh, you like it? But of course, it's yours, elder brother, please. All for you. And then Liu Biao's really excited, and he rides it back to town. But then one of his advisors, Kuai Yu, is like, oh, I talked to a guy who judged my late brother, my dead brother, was a horse judge, and look at its eyes. This horse is gonna murder you.
I give this horse a 3 out of 10.
And Liu Biao's like, oh shit, I better get this horse back. And so he goes back to Xuanda. He's like, oh, thank you so much for the horse, but like, listen, you ride out to war all the time. You're the one who needs a good horse. Here, you can have it back. And he's like, you know, while I'm giving you this horse, why don't you just ride out to war on it? That sounds good, right? Why don't you go to Xinyu and hold down things there? And Xuanda's like, okay, great. And he's getting ready to leave when Yi Ji, one of Liu Bao's advisors comes up to him and is like, hey, you should probably not ride that horse. He gave it back to you because that horse is, like, cursed and gonna kill somebody. And Xuanda's like, listen, I appreciate the concern, but if I'm gonna die, it's not gonna be because of a fucking horse.
Yeah, all men have their appointed time. That's something no horse can change. And that impresses Yiji so much that they become pen pals, and that ends up saving Xuanda's bacon pretty soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Xuanda has a kid by Lady Gan, and this child is Liu Shan, though his milk name is Ado or Precious Dipper, because she had a dream about the Big Dipper.
Nice.
Meanwhile, Cao Cao's been, you know, still recovering from his campaign in the north, and Xuanda's like, hey, listen, he's still weak from his campaign in the north. Liu Bao, this is our time. Let's hit the capital. Let's control the dynasty. And Liu Bao's like, I don't want to be emperor. What? No. That sounds terrible.
One Ya Shao falls, another one takes their place as the waffler of China.
Well, to be fair, I don't feel like he's waffling. He just knows what he wants, which is like, I've got a kingdom. I'm happy.
I feel like if Cao Cao is at your border, you do not have a kingdom in perpetuity.
This is a fair point. And so after this, he's like, tell you what, why don't you come drink with me? I've got something I want to talk about. And he's like, there's something on my mind. It's going to be a little hard to talk about. And his wife pops in and he's just like, oh, weird. I don't have anything to say anymore. Bye.
Yes.
Chuan was like, oh, okay. I guess he didn't actually have anything to say.
He's so trusting.
Cao Cao is rebuilding his forces. He's been successful. Everything's going great. And Xuanda is sitting there being like, man, we really should have hurt him while he was weak. And Liu Biao is also having a realization, and he calls Xuanda and he's like, hey, word is that Cao Cao is building up his forces and, like, been motioning a lot in our direction. Probably should have taken that opportunity. We fucked up. Our bad. Sorry. And Xuanda's like, I mean, he's still there. We could still attack. Like, it's not like he's gone now.
And the region is still a mess because, like Em said, 6 months isn't nearly enough time to put everything back in order. So there's still plenty of opportunity to work with the turmoil to take care of things.
And I was like, okay, that makes sense. They start drinking, and Liu Bao, like, starts crying, and he's like, oh, and Xuanda's like, oh, what's the matter? And Liu Bao's like, just one sec, wife check! Okay, no wife. So, last time I was gonna tell you something, then my wife showed up. So I first married Lady Chen, and gave me my son, Qi. And he's okay. Listen, he's a good kid, but he, like, isn't a good kid, he sucks. And then I had my second marriage to Lady Sai, and she gave me, Zong, he's a great kid. And I'm worried about succession, because, like, you know, the precedent is you do the elder, but, like, my younger son's clearly cooler.
He is another Yuan Shao.
Yeah, Xuanda's immediately like, bro, we just did this. You can't waffle on this. You gotta just give it to the. I know you might have concerns, but you don't want another war of succession. That's the only other option.
Yeah, he's actually, this is one of the most firm we've ever seen Xuanda, because he's just like, listen, from ancient times, choosing your younger son always fucks things up. If you're worried about this, you can try and, like, pare down the Sai clan, but absolutely never give succession to the younger son. Now the bad news is, Lady Sai just didn't answer the wife check. She was actually there.
Oh! Wife check roll failed!
Not only is she still there, Xuanda is so drunk that he continues to say things a bit more than he should. Like, at some point, he gets up to leave, notices he's he has gained a little bit of weight and starts despairing about it, being like, hey, if I haven't seen much action lately, but if I had a real base, just a good place, a good strong base to attack Cao Cao, I would be set. And he's realizing what that actually implies, saying that to Liu Biao's face, and is like, I said too much. Anyway, I'll see you later.
Yeah, he's like, oh, sorry, I was just drunk. I didn't mean it. Bye. And Liu Biao, like, literally, he doesn't say anything as he walks out. And the lady Sai slips in, and she's like, wow, Xuan does clearly trying to take your shit. What a dickhead. And Liu Biao's like, And Lady Sai's like, okay, clearly my husband is gonna waffle here. And she goes to her brother, and she's like, hey, this whole thing sucks. Xuanda says that Liu Biao should, like, pare down the power of our clan, and then also won't give my son succession. And Cao Mai's like, I could kill him. And just, like, it just, you know, tell Liu Biao afterwards. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. It's fine. And Lady Sai's like, okay, that makes sense. Meanwhile, Xuanda's hanging out, and then who shows up? But Yi Ji, the guy who told him about the horse, and he's like, hey, Cao Mao's coming to kill you? You should get out of here. And Xuanda's like, oh, but I gotta say goodbye to Liu Biao first. And he's like, you'll die.
he's gonna like murder you right now. You should probably leave. I gotta go say bye to my mate.
And Xuanda's like, okay, alright. Thank you for your help. We're gonna get out of here. And Cao Mao kicks down the door, and he's like, ha, ah, oh, fuck. He ran. All right. does anybody have a pen? And he writes a poem on the wall and then goes to Liu Biao, and he's like, oh, Xuanda left because he's going to rebel. He wrote a poem about how he's going to fuck up your shit, and then ran away.
Yeah, so Liu Biao storms in, sees the poem, and his first reaction to this is anger, like, oh, that motherfucker, he was planning against me all along. Then he thinks for a moment, and he's like, wait a minute, I've never known Xuanda to write poems in all our time together. This doesn't seem right to me. Mm-hmm. There's something so funny to me about this person being like, Xuanda doesn't seem like the literate type, or the person to write this sort of thing. I suspect something's happening.
The only way this could be better if he was like, wait a minute, this is a sonnet. He doesn't do sonnets. But yeah, so he goes back, and Cao Mao is like, okay, we're all ready. We're gonna go arrest him. And Liu Biao is like, okay, chill for a minute. I'm gonna think this through. And Cao Mao's like, okay, you know what? You're right. I think we should have a big feast for Xuanda.
this one always works.
And Cao Mao's and Liu Biao is like, I've kind of been feeling bad lately. Like my breathing's been kind of hard. I don't know about having a feast. I guess I could have my sons do it, but like they're kind of young for that. And Cao Mao's like, yeah, I don't know that they do the ceremony justice. And Liu Biao's like, okay, then we'll invite Xuanda to be like to officiate it, and it'll be great. And Cao Mao's like, yes. And sends a messenger. Xuanda has run away, well aware of the danger his careless comments had placed him in. And then the message comes, and Sun Qian is like, so my lord, you came back and you seemed like there was a lot on your mind, and now you've got this invitation. We should probably think about this one. Lord Guan's like, oh, come on, you're being too suspicious about this. Liu Biao isn't holding this against you. This is just some random dude said you were going to get murdered, so you ran away. I'm sure this is fine. And Shang Fei's like, there are no good banquets. That's not a thing.
For once, Lord Guan and Shang Fei have reversed positions as the wise one and the brash one.
Mm-hmm. And Shao Xilong's like, no, it's fine. I'll take 300 men. I'll come with you. It'll be okay. And Xuanda's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And Sai Mao receives them and is super polite. And they all, like, you know, there's a proper reception. And I set them up in the guest house. And Li Ku says to Xuanda, like, oh, I'm sorry. My brother, or not my brother, my father is having some trouble with his breathing. He really wanted, though, to receive you and you know, give his greatest encouragement to everybody guarding the districts. He's so grateful. And Xuanda's like, you know, I would never like make myself that sort of position of importance. But since he commands it, of course, I would never turn him down. And so he goes to present himself. Before the ceremony start, Sai Mao is like, what are we going to do? Xuanda's a real fucking hero. Bad asshole. he's like, we got to get rid of him somehow. And the person he's talking to, Kuai Yu, is like, don't you think people would be like mad at us for killing a hero?
What? No way.
And Sai Mao is like, no, Lu secretly said it was okay. We're good. And Kuai Yu's like, oh, okay, great. Let's get ready. And so they form a plan. They are going to surround the city. And then they are going to lure Zhao Xilong away by having a dinner specifically for military commanders. And then they'll make their move.
No one should ever go get dinner is the solution I've learned.
I mean, not a banquet, right? If someone's like, let's go to Nando's, you're probably okay.
So. Oh, yeah. Everyone go to Nando's.
That was me pandering.
I miss Nando's.
Xuanda, still riding his supposedly cursed horse, shows up. And then the invitation comes to Zhao Xilong. And Xilong's like, no. And Xuanda's like, oh, no, it's a fun dinner for all the military commanders. You'll have a great time. make some friends. And Xiao Xilong's like, okay. And so then the proper feast begins, and Yi Ji is there, and he's like, he raises a cup, and he comes over to Xuanda, and he's like, oh, let's have a toast. You should get the fuck out of here. And Xuanda takes the hint and goes to the bathroom. And Yi Ji goes out through the back courtyard and runs over to the bathroom and is like, Sai Mao's gonna kill you. Didn't I tell you that already? What are we doing?
Super gonna murder you right now.
Okay, you're surrounded east, south, and north. The west is safe. You've got to get out of here immediately.
Well, the west is semi-safe. The reason why the west isn't being guarded is it has a gigantic river that stands between him and freedom.
Mm-hmm. But Xuanda's got a great horse, so he without even thinking about his escorts, he just immediately bolts out. The gatekeeper's like, who goes there? He just shakes his head and keeps going. And the guard's like, we better tell Sai Mao about this. And he'd only traveled a little bit when he sees the river, and he's like, ah, shit. Okay, I can't get across. And then he turns around, he sees the cloud of dust of his pursuers, and he's like, all right, let's go, horse, charge into the current. And after a few paces, the horse starts to stumble, and Xuanda's coat gets dipped in the water, and he's like, ah, oh, this fucking horse. It's like, my dude. It's, you know, it's the image of the guy like sticking a stick in his bicycle tire. Like, oh, this horse. And the horse like rears up and gallops across the river, and Xuanda comes out the other side. Get fucked, Xuanda, this horse is actually sick.
Yeah, the horse is cool as hell.
Horse is probably still cursed. I feel like this is not safe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they were giving too much like respect to the memory one guy had of his dead older brother saying
in
horses.
Every
can be bad.
Instance of this book, when someone says, "Don't do that, it's a bad omen," and then the person goes and does it anyway, they immediately get owned by history.
But that's why you have plot twists. This is a surprise. They're leading us on.
I mean, the thing with this, right, isn't that the course isn't cursed. It's that instead of trying to either use this to his advantage or to like work around, he's just like accepting it and going with like the flow of history here. I think you are meant to see that as like the virtuous thing that Xuanda is doing, and this is like implied because he says later on in one of these, either later in this chapter or the next chapter, that like, "Whoa, I should really have died in this cursed horse. The could have only survived with like heaven's insistence." So this
is
like,
you mean Xuanda's virtuous mission?
Yes, I mean shut.
Virtual mission.
Meanwhile, Cy Mao is catching up to Xuanda and is like, "What's going on? We expected you to continue doing this banquet for us. Can you just come back with us?"
Yeah, Xuanda, Cy Mao lining up on the other side with like 1,000 men with spears, being like, "Why did you leave the party?"
And he even starts readying his own bow, which is Xuanda's cue to get the fuck out of there.
But he doesn't even need to get the fuck out of there, because in that moment, Xiao Zhilong and his 300 fighters race over the hill. He basically scares them off, because Xiao Zhilong is a fierce fighter, but he's only got 300 men, and so it's probably not smart of him to take that fight. And Cy Mao clearly can't take this fight without making it obvious that he's being super evil right now. And also, he's like right across the river from Xuanda, and Xiao Zhilong's like, "Where's Xuanda?" And Cy Mao's like, "I've got no idea." And he's like, "So why were you chasing him?" And he's like, "Oh, just I'm just responsible for his security, you know. I was just trying to do the right thing." And Xiao Zhilong is like, "I think this is a load of shit, but it's not enough for me to commit." So he crosses the river. And he spots the trail and searches for Xuanda, but is unable to find him. He unfortunately decides to ride back to Xinyi, which is where Xuanda's headquarters basically are.
Yeah, we're in chapter 35 now, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Xuanda encounters a recluse in Nanchang. Shanfu finds a hero lord in Xinyi.
Yeah.
So after his crossing of the river, Xuanda is feeling himself. He's like, "Man, there's no way I could have crossed that river if heaven weren't on my side." And he's riding onward, and he sees a dude riding an ox with a flute, and Xuanda's like, "Oh, damn. That guy just gets to live life. My life's so fucking complicated."
No cameras in sight, just living in the moment.
Just living, pure vibing.
And the cowherd sort of glances over and he's like, "Oh, you're Xuanda." Xuanda's like, "How the fuck did you know who I am?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, I attend to my master, and my master talks about Xuanda sometimes, and he describes you, and that's what you look like, so I guess that's it." And Xuanda's like, "Well, who's this master of yours?" And so this is the Taoist master, Stillwater. And, Xuanda is led over to him, and Stillwater is like, "Oh, congratulations. Today was your blessing. You were spared a calamity. Come on in." And he's like, "Okay, so what brings you here?" And Xuanda's like, "Oh, you know, I was just passing through." And Stillwater smiles. He's like, "You were running for your fucking life." And Xuanda's like, "Okay, yeah." And so the Stillwater is like, "Okay, so, what's like, why do you feel like it seems like you're in a bad state? Like, what happened?" And Xuanda's like, "Listen, I've had a fucking life, my guy." And Stillwater's like, well, actually, maybe it's not your fortune. Maybe you just haven't found the right men to advise you. And Shwanda's like, listen, I know that I suck, but I've got some amazing dudes. I've got Lord Guan, I've got Xiao Xilong, I've got Sun Quan. I've got these amazing, loyal, incredible men. And Stillwater's like, yeah, they're all fighters.
None of them know tactics.
Right, like, got a lot of good warriors. You need some people who know how to do strategy. And Shwanda's like, actually, that's a really good point, but I just haven't met anybody that fits the bill. And Stillwater's like, I'm sure you're going to find the right person.
The quote here is really good. It's like, you have forgotten Confucius' words. Even in a hamlet of 10,000, even in a hamlet of 10 households, one is sure to find loyalty and good faith. Do not despair of finding the man you seek. And then Shwanda replies, I am dull and unobservant. Which is very good.
and then Stillwater says, well, since you're unobservant, you probably haven't noticed the jingle that's going around. Fucking kid songs again. So it's in 9 years' time, things turn to waste. In 13 years, there isn't a trace. Heaven sends where they're due. The mudboard dragon mounts the blue. And he's like, so, you're the mud-blown dragon, you crossed a river, heaven's gonna send you the shit you need. And Shwanda's like, couldn't possibly be me. And Stillwater's like, no, the people of extraordinary talents are gathered here, you should seek them out. And Shwanda's like, and Stillwater says, sleeping dragon, young phoenix, either of these two, you get them, you're good.
And Shwanda's like, you want to be any more specific than that? And Stillwater simply replies, good, good.
And he's like, all right, great. So why don't you spend the night? We can talk somewhere tomorrow. That's fine. And Shwanda has his dinner and he goes to lie down, but he's like, I really want to get to the bottom of this, like, great men thing. That sounds good. So he goes to see Stillwater, but before he can enter, he sees someone else, like, he hears a knock and someone else enters his host's room. And host is like, and basically from the conversation, he's able to divine that this person was serving Liu Biao, but then determined that Liu Biao was a shit, and decided to leave. And wanted to find, you know, someone proper to serve him. And Stillwater's like, listen, you've got the ability to be a king's right-hand man. Why don't you go find a real hero to serve? And the guy's like, oh, that makes sense. And Shwanda's like, oh, this must be either Sleeping Dragon or Young Phoenix. Fantastic. And then in the morning, he's like, oh, hey, oh, who visited you last night? And Stillwater's like, oh, just a friend of mine. He was looking for someone who'd be a good ruler. He left. Shwanda's like, oh, shit. And he's like, what's his name? And Stillwater's like, oh, good, good, good.
Good, good.
And finally, after trying to get more information and failing, Shwanda's like, okay, well, fine. Why don't you come join me? And we can uphold the houses of the Han. And Stillwater's like, listen, I'm not fit to serve the world. There are so many men better than me. I just like hanging out in the hills. It's fine. And then Xiao Xilong rides up. And he's like, oh, great, I managed to track you down. We should get to Xin Yi. There's going to be a fight there any time now. And so Shwanda says goodbye to Stillwater and rides off. En route, they meet up with Lord Guan and Zhang Fei. And everybody is happy and cries. And Shwanda explains how he crossed the river. And then they get back. And Sun Qian's like, okay, first of all, we need to tell Liu Biao what's going on. Shwanda sends Sun Qian with a letter. When he enters, Liu Biao is like, hey, I invited Shwanda to a party and he ran away? What's going on? And Sun Qian hands him the letter being like, and the letter's big, but letter basically says, "Yo, Cy Mao tried to kill me several times." And Liu Biao is furious. He summons Cy Mao, and he's like, how dare you threaten him, and orders him beheaded. And even his wife's pleas are not enough. But Sun Qian's like, listen, if you kill him, then Xuan is really not going to be safe here, because then there's going to be like bad blood here. And Liu Biao's like, okay, fine. And so he sends Sun Qian back along with his older son, Liu Qi, to basically personally apologize for this mess. So Xuanda receives him and holds a good banquet with no murder. And Liu Qi just starts sobbing, and he's like, listen, Lady Cy, my stepmother, just keeps trying to kill me. It's the worst. And Xuanda gives terrible advice. Xuanda's like, just be a good son and it'll be fine. Liu Qi says a tearful goodbye and gets ready to leave, but then he sees the horse, and Xuan is like, oh, if weren't for this horse, I would be dead by now. And Liu Qi is like, it wasn't the horse, dude. Back in Jinyi, Xuanda encounters a man in a plain cloth robe who's singing a song about how, boy, it sure does suck that nobody will hire him to be sick as hell. And Xuanda hears it, and he's like, oh, this must be either Sleeping Dragon or Young Phoenix. Perfect. He's like, what's your deal? And he starts talking to him, and this is Shan Fu. And Shan Fu is like, oh, let me look at your horse. And Xuanda offers it to him, and he's like, oh, this is a cursed horse. Here's what you should do. You should give this to one of your enemies as a gift, and then they'll get killed trying to, you know, make use of it, and then you can ride it and the curse will be gone and you'll be good. And Xuanda's like, yo, what the fuck? That's not cool. That would be really dishonorable. What a shitty thing to do. And Shan Fu's like, oh, I was just testing you.
This person's introduction is him being like, oh yeah, I dressed myself as a singer to test you. This horse thing, also a test. And you passed with flying colors, so hire me.
And he's like, okay, perfect. Sounds like you're now the director general of my army because you tested me twice. Meanwhile, Cao Cao decides he's ready to take Jingzhou, which is Liu Biao's province, and he assigns, you know, some armies, and they head out. He's like, okay, but while we're at it, we should actually prioritize Xuanda. Xuanda has ambitions, Liu Biao does not. Let's just go take his head. So spies rush the word to Xuanda, and Xuanda turns to Shan Fu, his new advisor, and Shan Fu's like, don't let him in. They can't even set foot on our territory. You send Lord Guan, then you follow up with Shang Fei, then you follow up with Xiaoxi Long, and they're gonna be done. And this is when the Liu brothers, who did much passing around in the time of the Yuan brothers, you know, like defecting to, like being sent to Cao Cao and then being asked to defect and all that jazz, are leading this army, Xiaoxi Long immediately kills one of them.
Yes, he sure does.
So the other brother starts to retreat and then is. And his men are all wiped out by Lord Guan, but he manages to get away, and so basically like is looking over his shoulder like, wow, that's a bad scene, and turns face forward and sees Zhang Fei and says, I'm Zhang Fei, and runs him through. And so the word gets back to Cao Cao's son Cao Ren, and he's like, oh shit, that didn't go great. So the other advisor, Li Dian, is like, we took him too lightly. We need to get some more forces from your dad, and then we can wipe them out. And Cao Ren's like, no, we can't just, like, let him kill two great commanders and a bunch of men and not, like, retaliate. We've got to hit back right now. Li Dian is like, do you know the rules of war? Know your enemy and know yourself, and you need not fear the result of 100 battles. I know both. We're fucked.
Li Dian's like, okay, if you insist on going down this route, I'm just going to stay here and guard Fawn. But Cao Ren is like, if you just stay here and guard this city, you're a traitor to me. So either you're coming with me or I'm going to be taking your head. So Li Dian, kind of pushed into a corner here, is like, okay, I guess I did follow you over to Xinyi.
Which side do you think is going to prevail, y'all?
I couldn't say.
The main character or the bitch son of the enemy? this takes us to chapter 36. Xuanda surprises the town of Fan. Shanfu recommends Zhuge Liang. So that night, Cao Cao hits out, crosses the river. And Shanfu's like, hey, Cao Ren's going to come attack. He's an impatient little twerp. So if he comes, then we can hit Fan and we can capture it. And he gives, you know, tactics to Xuanda. And everything goes basically exactly as Shanfu expected. Xuanda puts his forces in the field. Zhao Xilong just rides out, challenging various commanders and killing them.
Sure does.
Including Li Dian. And Li Dian, basically matches blades with him a couple times, is like, fuck this, and rides away. So afterwards, they return to their camps, and Li Dian is like, listen, they're really good. We should go home. And Cao Ren's like, I saw that. You fucking ran away, barely putting up a fight. I should kill you now. And all the other commanders are like, you should not. He's like, okay, fine. And then he assembles his forces. And this is one of the most baffling things anyone's ever done. So he assembles his forces in a formation, starts to march, and then sends a messenger to Xuanda with a note that basically says, huh, you recognize this formation?
It's like it's like in a game of football, if the offense sent a letter to the defense being like, hey, do you see how I have four verticals arranged here? You're done for.
Is that a thing? Verticals?
Yeah, it's just when you send four receivers on a straight line ahead of you, and that's basically.
Why do you know football? I've been betrayed.
I play Madden sometimes.
Okay. I don't trust you anymore, but that's fine. Fair. And Shanfu looks and he's like, oh, they're using 8 gates to impregnable positions. Here are the different gates. Here are the different formations. If you attack here, 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 and here, it's going to go great. If you attack here, here, and here, it's going to go kind of bad. If you attack here, here, you're fucked. So just hit here, then here, then here, and they're done.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yep. Yeah, he sends his men. As everyone gets driven back, Cao Ren's like, oh, Li Dian was right. He's got somebody really good. We got fucking worked. And Li Dian's like, so as I was saying, I'm really worried about our base. And Cao Ren's like, you're right. We should attack the enemy again. And Li Dian's like, it's not gonna work. We should defend our base. And Cao Ren's like, listen, we can't win a war without taking chances. Meanwhile, Shanfu's like, Cao Ren's gonna attack tonight. Just put up defenses. It'll be easy. Cao Ren rides up, and then the defense strikes, and Cao Ren cries in astonishment, they were waiting for us. Turns out you go to the enemy's base and they're there. So he gets driven back. Li Dian fights really hard to protect him, and he manages to escape, though a lot of his men drown. And he rides towards Fan. He's like, hey, open up. And he looks at the gate, and Lord Guan's standing on top of it. He's like, yo, I took care of this place a long time ago. And so Sal Ren runs off, and on the way, he manages to learn about Shen Fu. Shuanda enters Fan in glory, and learns about he meets one of his kinsmen, Liu Mi, and then meets Liu Mi's nephew Ko Feng, who's basically he's a ward of Liu Mei's family. And Shuanda's like, this kid's great, I want to adopt him. And Liu Mei's like, you want to adopt this kid I picked up out of kindness? Absolutely.
So he renames the kid Liu Feng, and Shuanda brings it over to his brothers, being like, ah, check out my new son. Pretty great, huh? And Lord Guan's response is, you already have a son. We already went through this once. Did you really need a second one?
Put it back. You already have a son at home.
He specifically says, what use do you have for another's? It will lead to trouble. Because everyone has seen what happened when there's more than one son at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And Shuanda's like, no, it's fine. If I treat him as my son, he'll treat me as his dad. It'll be fine. And Lord Guan just sulks. It says, this answer left Lord Guan sulking. Anyway, he goes back to Xin Yi on the advice of Shan Fu, with Xiao Jilong guarding Fan. And Cao Ren and Li Dian come back to Cao Cao and prostrate themselves and talk about, oh, I'm sorry, we really fucked up. And Cao Cao's like, listen, you know, shit happens. But Shuanda's fighting really well. I wonder who's been making his plans. And Cao Ren's like, oh, it's I heard it was Shen Fu. And Cao Cao's like, Shen Fu? I've never heard that name before. And Chen Yu's like, oh, that's not his real name. He used to be a great swordsman, but towards the end of Emperor Ling's reign, he killed a man in vengeance, and thus he became a fugitive. He was finally caught and sort of hauled through town, but they didn't know his name, and they kept hitting him and demanding people name him, but no one would say who he was, so he was let go. He changed his name and tried to live as a scholar. His real name is Yu Shu, and he's from Yinchuan. He's a great swordsman, a great strategist, a great master. And so I was like, okay, like, Chen Yu, you know, you're one of my trust advisors. Like, how would you say on a scale of, like, one to your ability, Shen Fu rates? And he's like, he's 10 times better than me. And so I was like,
well, we're fucked.
I was like, okay, it sure is a bummer that people who are good keep going to Shuanda. What do we do? And Chen Yu's like, this isn't a big problem. Sus is like, it's not? He's like, no, he's got a mom. Just capture his mom. Oh, okay.
So they bring in Madame Xu, and they treat her with the utmost respect, basically given the royal treatment. And then they bring her writing instruments. But while that's happening, she asks Cao Cao, what is Shuanda like? And Cao Cao's response is, oh, he's nothing but a low class base individual. He's nothing. And Madame Xu's like, I know Shuanda all too well. I know his real lineage. You are a piece of shit if you think that you're going to trick me into tricking my son like this. And she even throws an inkwell at Cao Cao.
It was a test. And Cao Cao's like, oh, you mother, I'm gonna have you killed. And Chen Yu's like, that's a bad idea. She wanted you to kill her so that her son didn't have to worry about it. You should put her in jail, and then Shan Fu will have to do what we say. And Cao Cao's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Puts her in custody, has her cared for, and then Chen Yu basically pretends that he was once assigned brotherhood with her son, and just keeps, you know, visiting her and honoring her with gifts and being really kind to her and writing letters to her, so she starts writing letters back to him. And with those, Chen Yu practices forging her handwriting and then writes a letter to Shan Fu. The message gets delivered to Shan Fu, and the messenger's like, your mother sent me this to you. And the letter is basically like, I can't believe that, you know, I was so sad ever since your younger brother died. And I've been so sad. And then Sasa summoned me and threw me in jail. The only reason I've been spared is Chen Yu's kindness. Please come help me. You need to come serve Cao Cao and be super loyal. And Shan Fu weeps at this letter, and he's like, this blows. I was working for Liu Biao because he's got a great reputation, but then it turned out that reputation was undeserved and he sucked. So I went to Stillwater, and he told me to look for my true lord, and I found you, and it just seemed like everything was perfect, but they got my mom.
They did have his mom.
And Xuan's like, listen, they got your mom. That's all there is to it. You gotta go. Mom's first.
Moms are tough.
Yeah, so they're preparing a final farewell dinner, and Sun Kian's like, he kind of knows all of your military positions now. If he goes over to Cao Cao, he'll tell him everything and you're going to be screwed. And Xuanda's response is, but it's his mother. I can't do anything. And it's the, when they finally get to the banquet, they're both upset to the point that where they can't even eat the food. Like,
they had to just having a, they're having a, like, a noble off.
They are having a noble off.
Shwanda's like, here, have a drink. And Shanfu's like, oh, with my mom in jail, even the most precious liquor would taste terrible. And Shwanda's like, oh, but with you leaving, oh, I couldn't taste anything.
And everyone's just kind of watching like, ma'am. Sure thing.
Yeah, meanwhile, I just want to imagine the other commanders are just fucking digging in. Like, all right, well, if you're not gonna... as he's getting to relief, he's like, listen, this is the fault of my terrible destiny, but I hope you will serve your new master well and be respected for your great skill. And Shan Fu's like, oh, I'm shit and I suck so bad, and you were so kind to me. I can't believe that I gotta go because my mom's, but my mom's. Don't worry, I will never give Cao Cao the slightest bit of help. And Xuan is like, it's fine. Once you're gone, I'm going to be in a bad state, so I'm going to go back to the mountain forest, and it's fine. And Shan Fu rides off.
As Xuanda is watching Shan Fu ride off, he's so obsessed with watching him go that at some point the trees in the distance start blocking his vision, and he's been crying for a little bit by now, and he angrily is like, I want those trees cut down so I can see Shan Fu. This is terrible.
But as if summoned, Shan Fu immediately rides back. And Sean is like, great, he changed his mind. And he's like, oh, by the way, I didn't change my mind. I just forgot to tell you something. he's like, I know of a great man by the name of Zhang Liang. And you should... Xugai Liang, there are so many names in this fucking paragraph. And he's like, he's basically explains his history, and he's like, you should go get him. He's 10 times the guy I am. He lives at a hill known as Sleeping Dragon Ridge. And Chuan is like, Sleeping Dragon, the fucking guy, perfect. Then he's like, I was told I gotta find Sleeping Dragon and Young Phoenix. And Chang Fu's like, oh, Young Phoenix, you mean Pang Tong? And he's like, ah, oh, perfect. I got both of them. All right. Xuanda is like, cries, and he's like, oh, thank you so much. I'm gonna miss you so much. And they part again. On his way there, Shang Fu drops by Zhuge Liang's and is like, hey, I'm on my way. I gotta go serve Cao Cao. I wanted to work for Xuanda, but Sansa took my mom's, so I don't really have a choice. But I recommended you to Shwanda. He's going to come to pay his respects. Great guy. You will love working for him. And Shuga Liang's like, you came here to fucking get me to sign up for your old boss? Fuck off. And Sean Fu gets really embarrassed and leaves.
It is a fair reaction.
It's like, you like nominated me for this sacrifice? Like, come on.
So here's a thing. The ending of this, Shan Fu retreated in embarrassment and resumed his journey. Indeed, out of love for his lord, Shan Fu appealed to a friend. Out of love for his mother, he was homeward bound again. What would the outcome be? Read on. Outcome of what? Zhuge Liang, Shan Fu going back to Cao Cao. What are they specific? I don't.
I think they mean after whether Zhuanda will be able to recruit Zhuge Liang. That's what it seems like the next chapter is going to be about.
Yeah, I guess there's that. I am curious how it's going to go when Shan Fu shows up to Cao Cao and refuses. Well, actually, I'm not, because it's Cao Cao. Anyone else, you show up and you're like, I'm here, but I'm not going to help you. But Cao Cao's like, oh, you're so honorable, is how it's going to go.
Yeah, these chapters were great. I really liked them. I like the focus on Zhuanda. Zhuanda being like, how can I be a leader of anything when I'm just too nice to make anything good happen? I can't make any sacrifices, so I lose all the time.
Yeah. And I do... I appreciate Liu Biao more than I enjoyed Yuan Shao, because he is also kind of an indecisive idiot, but it seems like more than just like being the king of waffling, he's just a guy who has the ambition to be like he just wants to have like a little bit and hold on to his little bit, and this is just a time where that's not feasible.
That, and he has a mind of his own. Like, he might fall for tricks now and then, but he does think things through and play certain things close to his chest, which is a rare thing in this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. He's a little smarter than Yuan Shao in a way that I appreciate. Wonder how the Sun family is doing.
Yeah, I wonder.
Any other takeaways from anybody else?
I don't have anything. This is all good. I'm curious to see how it plays out. I'm ready for Cao Cao and Shwanda to clash. I feel like that's the thing this book needs the most, is these two actually interacting in a way, but I don't know how much I'm going to get that given history.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Because if they actually go to war, it's not like they're going to be like hanging out yelling at each other, which is what I actually want.
Oh, you want the anime?
Yeah, I want the anime. I want them to get into giant robots and then clash every episode back and forth for about 40 episodes. That sounds pretty good.
I know there's literally a Gundam Three Kingdoms, but it's fucked up that there's not like a more, like a non-parody comedy type Mech Three Kingdoms.
Right? I really want just like, I don't know, I want them to be like, oh, clearly a war is too dangerous a way to settle this. We need a tournament. I just want the good shit. I don't know, it seems like Cao Cao's not getting dethroned anytime soon, though. He seems pretty well established in his power, so.
Yeah, so I guess that's it for this one, then.
Yeah. Let me see if I can... I meant to bookmark a thing. Did I actually do it? Or
did you bookmark a thing?
I did bookmark a thing. This might take me a minute to pull up, because I remember the site being weird.
Oh, okay.
Yes, this is weird. Sorry. I can put this off till next time. It'll take me a minute here if you want.
What is it?
It is Meehan's poem.
Oh, we can do it next time.
Yeah, we'll do it next time.
Okay.
I have a streaming thing I need to go do anyway, so.
All right.
I have lying down that I need to go do.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week, folks. Tune in next week for more adventures in the Three Kingdoms. How many kingdoms are we at these days?
Three. I think we have three. There's the North, which, I mean, I guess the North doesn't... Does it exist? I mean, it's there. It has been just blown up, basically, but...
I mean, isn't it Sousa's at this point?
I guess so. So two kingdoms. But this can't be the end of the North Kingdom. Someone's going to go and take that kingdom back.
I guess you're probably right, yeah.
Well, I can't... Just nodding. Just...
All right. Well... Until next time, folks. It's the plug zone. I almost skipped it.
I was gonna say, like, we skipped that. I mean, it's fine. I shouldn't even know where to find us.
Well, Jackson, can you let him know just in case?
You can find me at headfullsoff on twitter.com. You can find Em at fuck ruined it. You can find Emma @em_being on twitter.com. You can find both of us at abnormalmapping.com, where there's a whole bunch of podcasts that are very good, and patreon.com/abnormalmapping, $1 a month will get you the Great Gundam Project, which is probably our most popular podcast, and we're doing G Gundam right now. It's good. That's it. I did the whole thing in record time because I know him has to stream.
Yes.
All right. Jen?
I'm at JBU3 on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. We do have a podcast on Abnormal Mapping called Novel Not New, a True End Podcast, which you can listen to at readinggames.online.
All right, and I'm at SixDetmar on Twitter, SixDetmar, and PinTweet and ScanlineMedia.com. Until next time, folks, read on.
Read on.
Read on.
Read on.